The Streets of New York provided actor and comedian John Leguizamo an early stage, but he moved indoors during the past decade to perform three one-man shows, Mambo Mouth in 1990, Spikorama in 1993, and Freak in 1998. Freak won an Emmy for an HBO special directed by Spike Lee. But something else happened during the past 10 years. Leguizamo says he grew up, and his evolution from a rebellious son to a nurturing father is what his new show is all about. He calls it Live.
I got a party now, because I just had a daughter. That's right. So I have no life. No clubbing, no smoking, no hanging out, nothing. That's why I wrote this show, so I could get out the house. Oh, hell yeah. And don't get me wrong, I love my daughter. It's just that I'm gonna raise her different than my parents raised me, because they damaged me. And I wanna thank them for that, because it made me what I am today. Yep. Thank you. But my daughter doesn't have to be that successful.
Success didn't come easy for Leguizamo. He was born to immigrant parents from Colombia and Puerto Rico. And while he jokes about being poor, he appreciates that struggle as the seed for his creativity. When Leguizamo Live came to Washington, D.C., John Leguizamo came over to our studio. And he told us about the neighborhood that helped make him the comedian and the man he is today.
We grew up in Jackson Heights, which is this weird Petri dish experiment of mankind in New York City, where you have every ethnic group living together, stuck together. It's very transient. We grew up with lots of Indian people. We had them all the time there. They were wonderful. We ate all their restaurants and had their friends. And you had the Jewish people. They were there all the time. It was wonderful. They were, hey, little Bobola, little Spanish man, how are you? And yeah, Jamaicans come there, come and tell you something. Come on, go out there, Leguizamo, come out and play with some basketball, come on. And we had everybody. And I would just listen to it all day long, make fun of people, goof on them. They would make fun of me. I got in trouble too. You know, I got beat up for having a big mouth when I couldn't run as fast. But that's where I started imitating. And I would do it to stop my dad from being angry and mean and beating me up. I would make voices, and he would love it. He loved it. Hmm. He would crack up. And I guess he encouraged me in a strange, unknowing way to be a comedian that way.
The characters that you do create are from your life, and it strikes me that it's become a lot less fictional.
Yes. The first show of Mambo Mouth was totally fictional. It was all monologues, mad costumes, and props, and it was just a little community that was slightly related. Then Spikorama, still more costumes, big sets, and it was kind of my family, but fictionalized. And then Freak was my life, you know. I toned some things down so people would believe it, and I exaggerated some things so it would make, you know, dramatic sense. And now this one is even closer to me.
So I met this girl who kissed with her eyes closed and who wasn't an actress, and she was sane, very sane. And she was a production assistant. That's a Hollywood term for somebody who likes to put up with a lot of crap. So I knew she would put up with me. And the first time that our families got together, because that's the real test, was at my house during Christmas. And I made sure that it was a costumed affair, because I wanted as many layers of camouflage on my family as possible. And of course, my mother comes as a smoked salmon. Mom, what the hell are you doing? I'm just trying to help you. Sergio, pick up my chives. And we got a Hanukkah candle for Teenie's parents. And my father goes over and blows out the candles. What the hell are you doing? I thought it was my birthday.
Your father seen this show yet?
No, and he may not see it. He told me before I left, I better not be in this one. And I said, well, you're barely in it. And he is barely in it, but he's in it enough, I think, to make him upset.
Well, when you say my parents damaged me right from the top, I would imagine that...
that he's included in that. Mm. And my father is not feeling very well, so I told him to stay away. I don't want my father to perish at my hands. Maybe I did when I was 13, but not anymore.
You reconciled, though. I mean, you were estranged for a while, and then you were using sort of this fictionalized material, and then you reconciled, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we hadn't talked like about 4 years, and he came finally to see Freak. I knew he was going to eventually come see it, and I know he must have heard about it. It was in the green room, the dressing room, saying hello, taking my hellos, and I saw the seething red face in the corner. I go, God, I remember those sounds in that face. And I turn around, it was my father, and he said, how dare you? You're dead to me. And he ran out, and I chased him, and we argued. I yelled a lot and lost my voice the next day in the show, and he cried, and I hugged him, and we made up. You know, we got closer, and then he came to see the show a second time, and he said to me, you're a brave man, and you're a very funny man, and I love you. So that was sweet. The show is really a tribute to him in a way. I mean, I know I say a lot of things that he doesn't like, didn't want to hear, whatever. It still is a tribute to him that he was such an important figure in my life.
And as I got older, my father did give me something. Beatings. Oh, yeah, because my father and I had what you would call a symbiotic relationship. He had a bad temper, and I needed to set it off. Because I needed attention, a lot of it. I would come home and I'd be like, Dad, how many jobs did you lose this year? Yeah, I'm doing a report for school. 5, 6, round numbers. Look, I'm going to teach you to respect me with the respect I don't get at work. And my father would go, pshew. My father would always smack me when he didn't have a comeback. And unfortunately for me, he wasn't very witty.
Now that you're a Latin dad,
yeah,
what do you understand that you maybe didn't understand before about your own Latin dad?
I understand where my father came from, and I know how strict and how much he wanted to succeed and be successful in America, and it made him sort of a hostile, angry man. Because with Latin dads, it's really interesting because you can't say, like, what? Like, he goes, John, I want you to do, and you go, what? You can't say it. You have to say, sir. And if you say, huh, they hear this curses. You always have to say, sir this, sir that. And my kids won't have to say, sir. They just have to call me Mr. Leguizamo. That'll be fine with me.
Being a father, you do a whole thing about how you wanted a boy very badly. I mean, I think that's universal. That's just
universal.
It's
just being a guy.
Yeah.
Plus, also, it's a fear of having a girl, and then they're going to get 13, and then they're going to meet us, you know. I'm hoping my daughter's a lesbian. And then we can go to the mall and look at girls together. It'll be much better. But, you know, it's going to happen. And those obnoxious little 13-year-olds like I was, you know, I was trying to have sex when I was 13. I was going out there, lying to girls, you know, I'm a love midget, baby. Come on, come home with me.
Oh, dear. With your pals? These are these guys that you mentioned in the show, Xerox.
Who repeats everything. Yeah.
And English, the past tense guy.
Because he had no future. Yo, I liked it. I did it.
Yeah.
But a lot of Latin guys talk like that still. They talk, I liked it. I did it. I went it to the store.
Is there a fine line, though, between getting too far into stereotype or doing something that you want it to be deeper?
I don't think I got to worry that much in this show. I think Mambo Mouth was the only place that might have had that because I took characters that I saw in the media and then I researched them and created them myself. And so that's what got that slant of stereotype. But I don't think in this show I have to worry about that because the thing in this show, it's got to be quick. It's like a haiku, like a poem of a person, and I got to get that really sharp and fast. So I got to distill all the nonsense and all the unnecessary stuff and make it rock in like a line or two. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. It's like joke smithing.
You seem to get a lot of reward from this. There's a lot of adrenaline going on there. But you're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I'm like, I haven't seen my family in 3 weeks, you know, and there'll be another week, 4 weeks, and then I'll try to run home for a day. I don't like that. I miss my family too much, and I want to hang out with my friends that I'm creating on stage. Instead of creating them, I want to hang out with them. I want to goof with them, you know. I want to have a little bit more of a life, and this is really demanding.
After a while, though, won't you miss the adrenaline? I mean, it's such a rush to be out there on your own and getting...
It's a drug.
Yeah.
It is. It's a crazy drug. I don't think so, man. It's a tough gig. I think I'll do plays. I'm not going to stop doing theater. You know, I'll always do that.
John Leguizamo, he's currently on tour with his new one-man show, John Leguizamo Live. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. You're a sweetheart.